When Robin returned, humbled and dejected, the gods rejoiced, foreseeing the speedy end of their troubles. Robin entered the fortress, ashamed and anxious. After deliberating a while and recovering his courage, he ordered his sleeping brother, Kumbhakarn, to be aroused. As the result of a curse, Kumbhakarna used to sleep for many months, and he had just gone to sleep a few days before the events last narrated. Robin asked his ministers to spare no efforts to rouse Kumbhakarna at once and get him ready for battle. Then Robin said to himself,
"All my penances have proved futile. It looks as though the prophecy of the rishis will be fulfilled."
But rooted in his determination to fight to the last, he issued orders as if he were certain of ultimate success.
"Let the warriors guard the fortress on all sides. My brother is sound asleep. He sleeps blissfully, unaware of my anxiety. He will not wake up for months if left alone. It is only 9 days since he started sleeping. So, rouse him at once. If he wakes up and goes into battle, the enemy will surely scatter. Who can stand before my Kumbhakarna? If he wakes up and opposes my enemies in battle, I have no fear."
Robin's officers and their servants accordingly went to Kumbhakarna's palace. They knew that as soon as he opened his eyes, he would be rapaciously hungry. So they first prepared and piled up mountains of food for him. Then they made a great din, beating drums and blowing conches. Many Rakshasas exhausted themselves, pushing and shaking the giant body of the Rakshasa. The noise that they made with their shouts and drums and trumpets filled the sky and frightened all the birds and beasts of Lanka. But Kumbhakarna, dead asleep, heard nothing. The Rakshasas worked hard at rousing him. They made elephants walk on his body, and they beat him with sticks. Then, at last, his eyelids opened slightly, and as one might brush away a mosquito while still asleep, he pushed them all aside and yawned. Kumbhakarna was thus disturbed in his sleep, which otherwise would have been months long. But before he could find out the cause for this, he began to eat and drink. The heaps of meat and the pots of blood and wine kept ready for him were quickly finished. When his hunger was somewhat mitigated, the Rakshasas approached him and acquainted him with the situation. Robin's minister, Upaksha, said,
"My lord, we have been defeated in battle and stand in grave danger. Do you remember the quarrel about Sita? Well, the Vanaras with Ram and Lakshman have arrived and are breaking through the fort. They have slaughtered and defeated our army, which never knew defeat before. Lanka is surrounded by the Vanar host as by an ocean. Ravan himself went into battle, but he retired from the field, having gotten the worst of it. It was our good luck that he escaped with his life."
Hearing this, Kumbhakarna was beside himself with rage and said,
"This very instant I shall go and destroy the enemy. I shall kill the Vanaras and drink the blood of Ram and Lakshman. And after finishing this, I shall go and wait on the king."
The ministers were delighted to hear this furious speech, but pleaded with Kumbhakarna that he should first take counsel with the king as to what should be done. Kumbhakarna agreed, washed his face, and then strode in somber majesty to the hall of the king of Lanka. The Rakshasas, standing on the royal highway, felt new courage and joy as they saw him pass and bowed low before him and showered flowers on him. He entered the palace and stood in the presence of Ravan. Rejoicing at the arrival of his peerless brother, Ravan stepped down from his throne and embraced him. Then he said,
"Brother, you do not know what has happened. You are lost in sleep. The man Ram has become a real menace to me. He has built a dam across the sea, which we considered impassable, and now the Vanar army surrounds Lanka like another sea. Our warriors who met them have been defeated and almost annihilated. It is for you now to save us from destruction, and I know you can do it. You have put the gods to flight. I know your love for me. I know your keenness and your courage in battle. So go at once and annihilate these enemies and help us in our need to save Lanka."
Kumbhakarna, when he heard Ravan's words of anxiety, was moved at first to fury against the enemy, but soon he remembered the whole story and Ravan's vainglorious confidence in his invincibility, and that made him smile a little bitterly. He said,
"Excuse me, my brother. The warning we gave you when you consulted us went unheeded. Our fears have come true. You rejected the good advice we gave you. Now you suffer the consequences of your error and your sin. You kidnapped Sita. Driven by lust, you acted without thinking. If you so desired, and you had the confidence and strength, it would have been wise to have slain Ram and Lakshman first, and then seized her. You have done things without due thought, and in the wrong order. When one acts without seeking or regarding the wise advice of faithful friends and kinsmen, it is no wonder if he runs into danger and ruin. Did you not know that these things must follow? Should not a king understand who gives him good advice and who is bad?"
Ravan did not like all this lecturing. He had no use now for lessons in ethics or politics. His face flushed with anger, but he controlled himself and said,
"Brother, the time is now past for such talk. What I need now is not your criticism, but your prowess. What is done has been done, and it is useless discussing it, whether it was just or unjust, wise or unwise. The question now is what we should do in our present predicament. It is your duty now to use your strength and skill to ward off the present disasters resulting from past errors. He is a true friend and a true kinsman who helps one out of his trouble that he has brought on himself, maybe because of folly. If indeed you care for me, the time is now to show it by helping me instead of commenting on my conduct. I depend on your strength and prowess. Out of your infinite courage, please give me comfort."
Kumbhakarna was moved by this appeal and said,
"Have no more care. I am your brother and can never forsake you. Rest assured that Ram and Lakshman are dead. I shall scatter and slay their monkey army. I shall fling at your feet the head of Ram, and you shall see the Vanar king's blood flowing on the battlefield. Ram could only approach you over my dead body, and that is not possible, for no one can vanquish or slay me.
Kumbhakarna's pride swelled and he cried,
No matter who the enemy is, I shall destroy him. Be he the death god or the sun god, I shall eat him all up.
In this mood, he rushed out to the field of battle. His sudden waking from deep slumber had completely upset his temper. But when his consuming hunger and thirst had been appeased, he had recovered his balance and spoke wisdom to Robin. But now, seeing Robin's plight, fraternal affection and pity made him forget everything else. Robin was pleased and said,
Oh, my brother, what a friend in need I have in you.
He was confident that Kumbhakarna would return triumphant, and he now felt like one recovering from a mortal sickness. Kumbhakarna, armed with his great spear, was about to go into battle alone, but Robin stopped him and sent an army to aid him. He covered his brother's big body with jewels and garments and blessed him, saying,
Go, my hero, destroy the enemies and return victorious.
Tall and mighty-limbed Kumbhakarna, covered with shining jewels, was radiant. He circumambulated his brother, bowed and marched out, spear in hand, at the head of a great army, amidst the applause of the Rakshasas and under a shower of flowers and good wishes. As the giant form of Kumbhakarna, a giant even among the Rakshasas, was seen stomping across the fortress wall like some great cataclysm. The Vanars were frightened and started fleeing in all directions. With great difficulty, however, their chiefs rallied them and put them in battle formation.